Between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. One thing happened when the Bible speaks about, you know, perfecting the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, right? True love among the brethren. It can't be produced without the forces of the New Testament. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So the more we fellowship together, the more our love for each other will deepen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We'll get to a point where we are inseparable by virtue of, praise the Lord, by virtue of our fellowship and communion. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is the way to bind people together. It's not organization or, you know, praise God. It's not, there's a lot of efforts, you know, it's made in the church to get people to love each other. That's one of the biggest problems we have. Is that a lot of Christians cannot love. People can't love their brethren. Amen. You know, and love sacrificially, where you get to a point where you are willing to give up anything.
Mm.
Praise the Lord. Amen. For your brother, for your sister. That's the love of Christ. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, right? That he will lay down his life. To lay down your life is not going to die physically, right? It's your laying down your life is your who you will prefer the other person, right, to yourself. You don't look on your own things. You don't engross with yourself, right? Those things are the core principles of God. Those are the properties of divinity, actually. That kind of love. So you can't find it by encouraging people.
Mm.
Love each other. You can tell them love each other, but there's something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
It will take substance. It's power. The power of God has to be unlocked to open that kind of love. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we might not be teaching love every single time we meet. You get? The topic might not be love, but the things we are learning, right, will produce the love nature in us. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank God for, and that's one of the signs to tell whether people are feeding on the right stuff, whether you're feeding correctly. There are some kind of things we can start talking about now. Everybody will start thinking of themselves. You know, there are things we can bring out from Scripture and focus on that will make everyone selfish and self-centered. Right? But when you're bringing out the right things, when you are preaching Christ, His nature, His life, you're painting Him from the Scriptures, what will happen is people are beginning to look like Him. And you can measure it in terms of sacrifice, how much, you know? How much you can measure growth by how much sacrifice people are able to give, how much people are able to let go, lay down their life. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's open the book of Revelation. I want you guys to know that I'm just a small boy. So that you guys can, you know, be listening to me. I know you guys that you guys don't get tired of me listening to me every single Praise the Lord. Yeah, I know that there's nothing that I have in my mouth that's worth listening to. So somehow I must be God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I'm just... is there a problem? Is there a problem? Oh, you need a charger? To charge what phones? Let's just plug it here. You can give me my laptop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So I want to let you guys know I appreciate that.
It takes humility. Praise the Lord. It takes humility to be able to identify the grace of God, right? And be submissive and subject to it. So I don't take it for granted. And I pray that God will reward every single one of us with life. As we yield to Him, as we sense, most times what hinders the move of the Spirit of God is when people are more sensitive to people than they are to God. Mm. Right? When if people are more sensitive to people, then that's when who is talking, who is teaching, those things begin to matter. Right? So when you can't see beyond the person, you are just seeing the person. But we are all flawed, we are all struggling together, right? But sometimes God can take a very flawed, weak vessel like I am and just say, okay, I want to give you a message for people. So that's just it. And so I just thank God for God is giving us grace to see Him, to know that it's not about, you know, it's about God, it's about what God is wanting to say, what God, and these things are real and urgent and expedient. For me, every time we come together, I look forward to every meeting we have. Because whenever we gather, the Spirit of God is at work. As we just began to pray, you know, there's a presence here that I cannot create in my own prayer time by myself, because they are ministers of God in the Spirit, ministering spirits, the presence of the Holy Ghost, who is here to bless us. And it's because we are obedient and we are obedient to the leading to gather. And we have that expectation. Praise the Lord. And as long as we continue to have that, I know that God will continue to bless us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So all I'm just trying to summarize and say is just that I love you guys. And it's an honor to... it's an honor to have you. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's open the book of Revelation, chapter 4. What did we read last? We saw chapter 5 last time. So I've just been waiting in my spirit like this week, you know, today, just to see this, what the Lord wants to say to us. Amen. And I have a strong leading in my heart that to continue in the flow from last week, and I sense that God actually opened something up, right? God wants to begin to show us, like this book of Revelation, there are a lot of foundational things in terms of the understanding of man and God's salvation program for humanity. They are hidden in the book of Revelation. And God will begin to give us grace to open them and to begin to see, look at them closely and to find the interpretation. But this book is a book he said it in chapter 1, right? Which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And then he sent it and signified it. Signified it means by signs. A sign is something that points you to a real... it points you to the real stuff, right? So it's not the thing itself. That's one of the nature of this book. It's a sign. It's full of signs. So a lot of the things in the book are signs. If you just take the sign... Right, it's like you went to a place and then you saw a signboard and took the signboard, or you know, it's like you get to the signboard and then you camp around the signboard, right? As if you've gotten to your destination, you can't stop there. Praise the Lord.
the signboard is pointing you to a place. You have to read the sign, interpret the sign, and then journey to where the it's actually, praise the Lord, where it's pointing to. That's the way this book is. It's a book of prophecy. And prophecy has to be interpreted. And that's what God has been helping us to do. I don't know if anyone can give a recap of what we had last time, just as much as you can recollect from last Tuesday.
I think that what, I was in between paying attention and not paying attention, but what really stuck with me was when you started to explain the temple,
mm-hmm.
and like the outer court, the inner court, like the holies of holies, where the bread was and the lamp and the light. I think those really stuck with me.
Yes.
And in terms of when Esse was relating it back to Psalm 23, when it says, you know, it'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy.
Yes.
Those really stuck with me, that, you know, there is that place where we have to pass through the enemy to kind of get to that perfection that we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And that those trial of our faith, those temptations, those sufferings are to get us to that point of, like, preparing us for that kind of walking through, like, the veil, where there's no longer a veil, and you're walking through where you've now been perfected by everything that has happened. I think that that really stuck with me.
Awesome. Praise God. Amen. Come on.
I guess just that realization that the book of Revelations is tied more in regards to how the soul will be healed completely.
Mm.
That was the one thing that I really, that now is the season. And I was reading this week, I read Daniel chapter 12, verse 9. You know, it says, this was after Daniel had gotten all the revelations. You know, and the angel said, from verse 9, it says, and he said, go thy way, Daniel. For the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. You know, and then when we now go, you know, he was telling Daniel then that the words are closed up and sealed, meaning that ability for the soul to actually journey was closed up and sealed. But when he was talking to John at the end of Revelation 22:10, he says, and he said unto him, seal not sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at
hand.
So, I mean, when I read that this week, I was like, wow, it's now, like, it's a big privilege, a big honor that God is choosing to reveal, you know, to us. It's just proof that our souls can now journey to the very end.
Yes.
To the very end. That has really encouraged me to just have that push of the heart.
Yes.
That will eventually be saving of the soul.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Can anyone remember Revelation chapter 5? From Revelation 5. So she spoke more about what we brought out from chapter 4. So the understanding of the heavens, right? The positioning of the elders, the living creatures and all that. We relate that with the temple, right? And the stratas of the heavens, right? Chapter 1, we had initially started with how this revelation is, like you said, you know, the revelation of the soul of man, right? But it's the revelation of God, which God gave to Christ, okay? But the revelation of God, you can also say it's God's man's revelation, because the end recipient, right? We saw the custody which God gave to him, that's Jesus, and then he sent it by his angels
unto John, right? And I told John to write these things and send it to the seven churches. So we saw the custody of the word. It's actually a word for us. Amen. And so it's not just a book talking about things that will happen. It's a book talking about events in the soul of man. Amen. So can anyone remember from chapter 5 what came out of chapter 5? Because that's the link to, I think, what we'll begin to look at today. The life of... Honey, can you remember chapter 5?
This is chapter 5 when there was a point where I guess everybody in the heaven, you know, was like, was worthy to receive, open the scrolls, you know. Because it turns out that that's what John was looking for.
Yeah.
And that's why he, because at first the revelation started on the island of Patmos, and then all of a sudden he was taken up, and what was the point of him taking up if not for to receive the scroll and to know what was in it? And only Jesus could have opened it. And then we started talking about Jesus' priesthood.
Okay. What do you remember? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And thank you, Jesus. So the promise is, what's the promise? What's the promise for the churches? Yeah, okay. So to each church, he gave promises, right? He that overcome, you know, and he told them what will happen. Praise God. Amen. So if the glory for the revelation is to bring them to the promise, so that tells you that the content of the book, right, is actually the promise. But the book is sealed. So the book had to be opened. Praise the Lord. Let's read from chapter 5. Let's read from chapter 5, verse 1. Can someone read from verse 1? Someone with a good voice.
And I saw...
From verse 1 to the end.
And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to loose thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to loose thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and twenty elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints.
and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lived forever and ever.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, he was the only one who was able to take the book, right? And then when he took the book, he was able to open it. So when, verse 8, right? It says, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. Those odors are scents, right? Which are the prayer of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Praise the Lord. And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. Verse 9 said, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain. So there's a reason why he's the only one that was able to take it. Right? Praise the Lord. In verse 3, read verse 3, he said that no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Okay? So no one was able to do it. Now, the song that is sang after he took it, they said, Thou art worthy. Now, the reason why no one was able to take it is because no one was worthy to do it. Nobody was worthy to take the book. But they now said he is worthy to take it for. So the reason why he's worthy, what makes the Lamb worthy to take the book, is for, because he was slain. Now you see why every time there is an appearance or a depiction in the Revelation, it is revelational or it's instructive. So there's a reason why Jesus now was appeared as a lamb here. You see? He says, I saw. Where is it? Thank you. One of the elders said unto him, Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, right? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open up the book and to loosen the seven seals thereof. Now, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Alright? You see, he's the one who has prevailed to open it. The next verse, they said, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and on the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are what? the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Amen. Amen. Now, the two appearances in terms of depiction of that being, first of all as a lion, right? And then as a lamb. You see it? The lion and as a lamb. Now those two appearances speak about his dominion as and his priesthood. Does it make sense? When you think of a lion, what do you think of? Say the lion is the king of the jungle, right? Uh-huh. So you think of his dominion. They call him the lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah is where is the situation of the rule in Israel. Right? That's where the kingdom, God gave the kingdom to Judah. That and God said that Judah will rule over his brethren. Right? So that lion of the tribe of Judah means he's a king. So the person who was able to take the book is a king. But he's not only a king, he's also a priest. The lamb is a priestly animal. Makes sense? Aha. A lamb is what? It's priestly. So when you see a lamb, the lamb has his own natural priestly garment on him. Alright? You use a lamb for atonement. That's priestly function. You don't go and slaughter a lion in the temple. Right? That blood, that altar, that brazen altar outside the tabernacle wasn't made to receive a lion's blood. A lion's blood is not good enough. Right? Because a lion doesn't have the nature to be killed, to be offered. When you want to kill a lamb does not struggle. Right? Praise the Lord. When the Bible speaks about being led like a lamb to the slaughter, a lamb doesn't tell you, I don't want to go. A lamb just follows. Even though you are going to kill it, it's just there. Very what? Submissive. That's the nature. A lamb is the nature of a lamb is to be offered. The life of a lamb doesn't resist being offered. But go and try and slay a lion. What will happen? The lion will slay you and offer you a sacrifice. Right? And offer you a sacrifice on the altar. So, but you see, God had to bring those two things. It took someone who has those components of a king and a priest. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, he's not just a king. He's a king that has a certain kind of authority. He's a king that has fullness of authority. Now, the measure of dominion, right, is authority. You want to measure a king, how much authority does he have? Right? What is on your head? Praise the Lord. Amen. Now you see, verse 6, see, and behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having what? Seven horns and seven eyes, which are the what? Seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So the image he saw is the image of a lamb. He has the lamb nature, but it's a lamb that has authority on him. Is a lamb that though it has been slain, that tells you that it's not just a lamb, it's a lamb that has reached its function, that has fulfilled its purpose. It's a lamb that has gotten to its destiny. He's a worthy lamb. He's a lamb that has come to its function. He's a lamb that although he has been slain, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then he also is a lamb that also has authority. The symbol of authority is the seven horns, praise the Lord, and what the seven eyes. The seven eyes are what they call what? The seven spirit of God sent into all the earth. Praise God. Now it says, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, And we shall what? Reign on the earth. Praise the Lord. Okay. So now, this Lamb, he's the one who was able to break the seals and to open the seals. Okay? Now, the content of the book which the Lamb took. Amen. Is the content of, contains the properties that will produce the overcoming church or the overcoming people. So if the seals are not broken, it's impossible for the church to overcome. If the seals aren't open and delivered, praise the Lord. So if the content of the book is not delivered, then it's not possible to overcome. Now let's now begin to see chapter 6. Praise the Lord. So chapter 6, that's where the seals now began to be opened, right? So what do we expect to see in the seals? Let's ask. As the seals are opening up, what do we expect to see? Isn't what I said?
The promise.
Okay.
Instruction.
Okay.
Properties of the land, like
okay. Say that again.
The way that the soul should journey.
That's it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 So if the seals is supposed to bring you to the end, when you open the seals, you are unveiling what? Journey. How will you, the souls are in a place, how do you bring them to the end? So all the instruments to bring the soul to the place of perfection, which is the most holy place, those instruments are unveiled, they are hidden within the seals of the book. How do you produce the royal priesthood? Right? You see what it says? For thou hast was slain, as we bring us unto God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and all that. And say, and has made us what? Unto our God, kings and priests. This is the destiny of the church. This is the work that the Lamb needed to accomplish by him being slain. Right? To produce kings and priests unto God. Now, someone who has, people who have come to kings and priests, to this place of kingship and priesthood unto God, these are people in the most holy place. Kings and priests unto God. Amen.
Amen.
Can we read chapter 6 from verse 1 to 9, please.
And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see.
Okay.
And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer.
Okay.
And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So this is seal one. To seal what?
Five.
To seal five that were opened. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what is, I want to ask, what is common from seal one to seal four? Can you, if you read it well, look at it, can you see something common? Anything you can point out that's common between seal one, the first four seals?
It was the beast that was announcing.
The what?
It was a beast.
Okay. Okay.
The beast that was, that was, I guess, unveiling the content, or that was speaking out what was seen.
Okay. Okay. It's one of the four beasts, right?
Well, I don't know if this is, I guess it's the same beast all throughout.
No.
No?
Yeah.
One of the four beasts, come and see.
So each of the beasts.
Beast, okay, yeah. And then right. The third beast say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. Are we ready? What I'm saying. You said? Huh? Amen. Okay. Now, thank you. This operation of the first four seals is actually, they are instruments of gathering. They are instruments of what?
Gathering.
Of gathering. Gathering from where? They are the instrument of gathering from the four corners of the earth. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I don't know, there's something I wanted to see from the book of Ezekiel, but I don't know because it's so long. I don't want us to read the whole thing. Now, Ezekiel gave a detailed, because he had a vision, right? The opening of the book of Ezekiel was when he was by the river of Chebar, and then he saw a vision of God. Praise God. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God." Amen. Now he saw visions of God, and he saw the appearance of God coming. And when he was coming, he saw actually his throne coming, but he saw God coming, being carried by the cherubims. Right. He saw God being carried by the cherubs, and he saw their positioning in that constitution. Okay. Now, amen. Amen. Can we read from Ezekiel chapter 1. Thank you. It says, "And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures." Verse 5, right? "And this was their appearance, and they had the likeness of a man. And every one had" what? "Four faces. And every one had four wings." Okay, "and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on the four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings, and their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went." Okay. "And they went everyone straight forward." Okay, can I have paper? Something. Now, if there are four of them, okay? There are four of them, and all four, their wings were joined together, right?
Their wings were joined together?
Yeah, one to another. If you read verse 9, their wings were joined one to another, such that they turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward, right? Okay. "Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward to two," right? The wings were stretched upward. "Two wings of everyone were joined to another, and two covered their bodies," right? So each of them had two wings joined. Uh-huh. So you see. So one of the things that you will notice that they didn't turn. You will see later, if you go down, you see their movement. They actually had wheels under them that moved whenever they wanted to move. Okay. Now, this one has a wing. His wing is like this. He's touching this one. This one is touching this one. This one is touching this one. What? What? This one is touching this one. This one is touching this one. This one is touching this one. Right. You see it? So.
Sorry.
See it, right? So when they move like this, like that, like that, like that. They don't turn. It says, and they went everyone straight forward. Whether the spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 20. It says, whithersoever the spirit was to go. Right? They went. Whither was their spirit to go? And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Right? So they had wheels under them. Verse 15, now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures tossed with their four faces. So they had wheels under them. Right? And so how they moved was, there's no deviation in their, they had a spirit. That spirit is the spirit of the wheel. That spirit of the wheel is actually the spirit of the will of God. So wherever God wants to go, that spirit determines the movement. At the time that spirit wants to move, each of them at the same time, they move at the same time. What does that tell you? They all have one wheel. All of them. They have one wheel, praise the Lord. And they don't turn. Now, another thing, praise the Lord. Another thing is their actual arrangement. Let me see their description. Thank you. Amen. Now, another thing now is that, you see, so if they don't turn, it means that each of them is, even though they move, you get? They move, but they don't turn. I mean, they have an axis in terms of positioning. Okay? Now, if this is the north, no matter how they move, this one is a north angel. This is the south, this one is a south angel. This is what? The east, this one's an east angel. This is the west, that one is a west creature. You get? But that tells you that they are actually, these are the spirits of the winds of the heavens. This one has command in one direction. Each of them has command in a certain direction.
Of the heavens?
Yeah, they are heavenly creatures. Okay. Right, but of the heavens. Does it make sense? Because these are the spirit that control the heavens. That's why you see the 24 elders can't worship without them. Their cry have to come out first. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So these creatures, they're actually the ones who release, who propagate the message of the throne. They are actually the spirits of the throne. They are the ones who carry God. God dwells in their midst, the midst of the four living creatures. Praise the Lord. Each of them covers a direction. make sense? Kind of. This time I will show some more scriptures, but I just wanted to say something quickly first. And that those places you read, right? Mm-hmm. The first seal to the fourth seal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, after they read the first seal, it says, one of the four beasts saying, what? Come and see.
Mm-hmm.
He was a call to, in his own direction,
mm-hmm.
he gave a call, come and see. Mm-hmm. After the second seal was broken, verse 3, when I opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say what? Come and see. Chapter 5, verse 5. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say what? Come and see. And then, chapter 7, it says that when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say what? Come and see. So what did they say? Come and see was said in four directions. When you think of cardinality, how many directions are there, really? How many cardinal directions? There are four. And if these beasts are positioned like that, they cover those directions. So this declaration, what these seals opened up were revelations, right, to all the four corners. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, these four corners, you think it's just in heaven? That who were they telling come and see? You think there are people in heaven? Huh? No. No. Even though they keep God, the content of this revelation, they weren't telling angels come and see. This is a revelation for man. Praise the Lord. So this is a revelation for the soul. This call is a gathering call. The first four seals. This is a call to what? All creatures. This is the first call to the tabernacle. These first four seals. What they're actually calling to do is come and see what we are keeping. Right? What they are keeping is God, the testimony. That's the destination of the souls to whom this revelation pertains. And each of them cry what? Come and what?
See.
Come and see. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, this... angels. This revelation, another thing common with this revelation, is that the content of it are instruments to hurt the earth. Right? What is the first one? The first horse, the noise of thunder, right? A white horse, and he sat on him, what was the crown, right? He went forth conquering to conquer. That's the first one. What's the second one? Power was given, right, to take what? Peace from the earth, right? That. And that they should kill one another. And there was given unto them a great sword. That's the second one. What's the third one? They missed a measure of wheat for a penny. 3 measures of barley for a penny. What does that tell you? What's that? That's famine. Right? So first there's conquering. And then there's killing. Those killings are wars, right? Conflict, that's actually what it is. Conquering, conflict,
Then what?
Famine.
You know what that word conquering, actually, what it actually means is servitude. That's what it implies. Servitude. Servitude, conflict, then what? Famine. Then what's the last one?
Death.
And look, and him that sat on it, verse 8, the name of him was death, right? And hell followed him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, right? And with what? The beast of the earth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So this last one was a culmination. Amen. They're actually increasing. First of all, it starts with servitude. From servitude, contention. From that affects what? The economy. Then the last one is the final word, debt. And you see in the last one, it has all the components of the first one there, right? Kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, right? And with the beasts of the earth. Praise the Lord. Does it make sense? Amen.
Amen.
Now, these things are not Satan's idea. That's what I want us to see. These four horsemen are not Satan's idea. They are actually operations that God will cause, that angels of God who will come to the earth, right, or spirits that God will send to the earth will cause these things to begin to happen. And the reason for these things to happen is for what? Souls to come. This is the method that they will use to bring souls from the four corners of the earth. Amen. And not every soul needs this operation. There are souls who would have journeyed already, okay, by themselves, by just hearing the word. Those are the first fruits unto God. Those are the ones who are called the servants of God. Praise the Lord. Does it make sense? After the servants of God have journeyed, after the servants of God have journeyed, there are those who will not journey like that. God has to institute something. God has to shake the earth to break the, to cause the systems of reliance. Things that he has to touch that man's feeling of safety. But if you don't break that, there are souls who will never hear that it's a tabernacle I should be journeying to. God will have to touch the earth, shake the means of man's livelihood, touch that life of comfort on the earth.
I have a question.
Yes.
After the third beast came forth. Verse 6 says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny.
Yes.
And now says, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.
The oil and the wine. Okay. I mean, what is that? What do you think it is? Okay, I get you. So you see the oil and the wine, those are symbols. What does that symbolize?
The word.
the spirit, right? It actually symbolizes spiritual function, oil within oil upon, right? That's the spirit. What it's telling you is that if it was Satan that came to do this job, Satan would say, let everything else be okay, but take away the oil and the wine. That's Satan's operation, right? To kill the oil, remove the oil and the wine. But this operation is God's operation. God will touch the livelihood of men, but he will do it in such a way that men can still what? The reason why he's doing touching those things so that men can, so the activities of the spirit on the earth can what? Can increase. Yes, yes. So that the activities of the spirit, what? Can increase. Because you take those activities to bring people to God. You get. There are some kind of wars that can stop fellowship with God. Right? Some kind of troubles that can be going on in the world that we can't gather and meet, we can't fellowship, we can't pray. God, that's not this kind. This kind is actually talking. This kind of thing might be happening. You won't be seeing gunshots outside. You understand? This is also language. You understand? What men depend on. God knows how to do it. Different souls have their own. What men depend on, God would touch it. He would shake it. The thing that make men, that men are intoxicated with, that make them not think that, oh, there is a God somewhere actually. We're not just made to just come and live and then invent and then carry on and then die. No, there's something more. There's a tabernacle. There's a place. There's a God somewhere. You see? When God will shake some things to create awareness of the spiritual life or God's expectation from man. Praise the Lord. So, obviously, there will be people who will journey, and by God's grace, God will help us, I pray, to be sealed. If you read chapter 7, verse 1, you say, can we read chapter 7? From verse 1.
And after these things, I saw four angels
standing
on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth.
Yes.
That the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God.
Yeah.
And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead.
Praise the Lord. Does it make sense now? So, do you now understand the idea of the four angels? You see, those four horsemen are the ones who are holding the four winds of the earth. They are holding the four winds. The wind, talk of wind. What is wind? Wind of the earth. Winds are the things that determine what happens. Right. Winds of the earth. I mean, when you go to that position of the, if you can get the winds of the earth, you can dictate the activities that will happen on the earth. The same way the four living creatures, they are the ones who hold the four winds of heaven. Actually, this activity of this angel is actually an operation of the four living creatures who hold the winds of heaven, breaking the seals and saying, everybody, what? Come and see. The way they will get people from every direction to come and see is by they have to take control of the four winds of the earth. The winds of the earth will determine what kind of wind will blow. Praise the Lord. So these four horsemen, they are four horsemen who hold the four winds. Right, they have winds. They will cause to blow upon the earth. when that wind begins to blow, it will bring this kind of hurt, the kind of hurt that the seals, first four seals reveal, will begin to bring it. And the reason for that is to bring that final harvest. Does it make sense? Now, when they want to start that thing, we tell them, wait first, we have servants already. Right?
Mm-hmm. Before the seventh seal, or before... I thought it was before the seventh seal that this instruction was given.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Okay. We're good. So before the seventh seal, these guys will have to be sealed, right? Now, these guys have journeyed beyond these operations of the four seals. Because by the time we got here, they are already servants. By the time those four winds came, those four angels that have the four winds of the earth, that's bringing this operation of the seals to the earth, they will come and meet that they are servants on the earth already. And those servants who need to be sealed, these servants are men who are already standing upon Zion in the spirit. Now, the work of the four seals is to bring people from far and wide. These people that they are bringing from the four, they are bringing them from the ends of the earth. You have to bring them, they have to journey, and then they have to now arrive at what? At what? The altar of the key. The altar of the key, remember last week? We have to remember last week's teaching now. That's the brazen altar. That's where you gather everybody to before you now begin entrance. So the reason for the first four seals, amen, is to gather people from the corners of the earth to bring them to the altar. The altar is outside the tabernacle, for entrance into the tabernacle.
For entrance into the holy place. The place.
Yes. Yes.
And of course, these people that will be brought from the corners of the earth, these are people who already believe in Christ, right?
These are children of God. Praise the Lord.
Seems that would pretty much shake them.
Yes.
And cause them to rise to that stature where they're called.
Yeah. And these people include kings of the earth or the big boys. Right? God will humble them. There won't be any big boy anymore. By the time these angels handle things on the earth. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you know Jesus spoke about this thing. Right? Let's see. Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, they asked him, how shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming, right? Verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. He said, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive thee, for many shall come in my name, saying I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and diverse places. And these are what? The beginning of sorrows. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Are you seeing all that stuff? And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall what? The end come. Praise the Lord. And wherefore shall ye see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the angel of the prophet, and stand in the holy place, who so readeth, let him what? Understand. Now, Jesus Christ spoke about one dimension of things that will be happening to God's people. There's another dimension of what will be happening to Satan's people. We've learned all that, right? That it's not just God bringing his own people. Satan is also doing his work. That is, he wants to raise that man called the Antichrist. So there's also an advancement in darkness. That's when he's speaking about this abomination that could cause desolation that will happen in the temple. He's talking about how Satan will begin to get inroads into the temple, which is the conscience of man, to break down the conscience. Now, Jesus, God's own, you get, is to awaken the conscience through by touching men's livelihood and all those things on the earth, touching, shaking the systems of the earth. People who are God's own people, who have been ordained unto eternal life, their conscience will be what? Awakened. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Verse 21 says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Praise the Lord. Now, I want us to read from verse 29. Amen. Verse 29, it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." These are the operations, right? Listed in Revelation chapter 6. Praise the Lord. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great what? Glory. So all these operations will now give way. Men will now begin to see Christ. Because of this tribulation. Verse 31, it says, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from where? From the four winds, from one end of heaven," praise the Lord, "to the other." So he will send his angel to what? To gather his elect from the four winds. Amen. So, when we talk of tribulation, and that we always think of what Satan will do. Praise God. There will be an operation of tribulation, right? That God will use to gather people on the earth. Does it make sense? People who put their trust in the financial industry, just give them some time. Amen. Amen. When God will shake those things, there will be nothing left but God. They will begin to see Christ as real. You know, all the gospel we are preaching now, I said, just talk to Jesus, Jesus, scripture, scripture. Show, give us evidence. God will delete all those evidence. He will break them down. Praise the Lord. That will cause their eyes to be able to see Christ. Even people who are called, the Bible talks about stars. You see here. Immediately, the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Praise the Lord. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, these things are he's talking about the livelihood of men. Remember, all the men they are bringing, they are all people who are under the sun. Their life is prescribed by the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's their light. That's the light they need to see. But that light is not good for man. What God wants to bring man is actually to come to the most holy light, which is the shining light. Through you, pass through from the sun, come into the holy place, to the burning light, and then navigate to the shining light. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, so the operation of this wind is actually to take men from under the light of the power, they call the powers of the heavens, including the stars. Amen. The sun and the moon. God will have to shut them down. When God shuts them down, men will be in darkness and they will begin to look. All the light they will begin to see, they will desire for, is the light of God in the tabernacle. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
There are those, the Bible says, who having not seen will believe. Those are the first fruits. Those ones, God doesn't need to turn off the sun for them to journey to the tabernacle. The sun is still on, but they will deny the light of the sun. They will deny the normal, the cause of this world, even though it's profitable to many. When they look around, see who are profiting with this world. But those first fruits unto God, they will look at it and they will desire the light of God. And they will journey. Amen. Those are the servants of God who will be sealed. But after those ones, there will be those who, unless you turn off the sun, unless you touch their light and their livelihood, because they are weak, God will have to shake them in order to bring them to salvation. You see, let's go back to Revelation chapter 6. Yes.
Yes. Or he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Shall be saved.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations.
Yeah.
And then shall the end come.
Yes.
So this is verse 14.
Yes.
Is it as a result of this gospel being preached that verse 30 will happen when it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven? And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. I'm guessing it's as a result of this gospel that is being preached.
Yeah.
Praise
the Lord. Now, everything you're seeing here is actually going to happen by the mechanism of the gospel. Right? The content of the book is actually a revelation of God. You know? It is actually the activity of God's servants. When the servants have been raised, these things, until those servants have been raised, these kind of things will not begin to happen. It's their work that will make it ripe for these activities. Right? The testimony of what their work on the earth is what will trigger these activities. Right? When you talk about the systems and all that, don't think just physically. You get. You're thinking of soul activity. Does it make sense? The systems of the world will lose their power, their lure. You know what makes people serve them? Because they are powerful. They have ability to grip the souls. God will have to raise guys who, by the power of the gospel, will render those things powerless. Your work is not just affecting your soul alone. No. As you are walking on the earth, you are affecting the heavens. Does it make sense? You are affecting the powers. All the reason why
a career, someone's career, can take hold of his life in such a way that he neglects God. It's not, the career is not ordinary. It's a spirit. It's highly spiritual. There's something spiritual about it that can make, keep his soul, hold his soul, that his soul will not have response to God. It can't muster up energy to pursue God because you are, the soul is being drained from something that's spiritually powerful. But as many people begin to walk in righteousness, on the testimony of the gospel, the evidence of the gospel will begin to be realized on the earth. And those spirits who are able to hold men bound, amen, will be unseated from the heavens. Let's read Revelation chapter 6. Let's continue reading. We'll see. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, one of the things you will see is after the fourth seal, right? Mm-hmm. When the beast will say, come and see. You now get to the fifth seal. Okay, so the fourth seal are the four winds. They are the horsemen, right? Who will bring this activity to the earth, to shake the earth. Okay? Now, the fifth seal, what you will now see is you've arrived at the altar. You know, there's no horsemen or anything. Right? I mean, the wind has done their job. You arrive at the altar. When he had opened the fifth seal, verse 9, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Right? And for the testimony. You now find out that there are people who had arrived at that place without anything. Mm. But they haven't entered into the holy place. Mm. At every point is a strata. There are people in different places on the journey. There are some people that this activity will meet close to the altar. They didn't get there. But they just need some nudging. That tells you the nature of the soul. People are in different places in their journey to God. So here you will now meet some martyrs. Who is a martyr? A martyr is somebody who, right, was slain. He says, and when they had opened the fifth seal, I saw the altar, under the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word and for the testimony which they had. Which they held. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, these guys were slain. Amen. But they hadn't entered the holy place. So they were able to muster up and produce a level of sacrifice. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. But they didn't journey in the life of God enough to enter the kingdom. They are souls like this. They don't care, but they don't care about money. No. Right? So they are, some of them have evangelistic, that kind of nature. They can go to anywhere and preach and they will kill them. Those ones, they lost the world. You get? So their problem is not the sun and all that stuff. It's just that all that is not enough. You get? To get you into the kingdom. There is a learning. You need to the revelation of God's life. You get? They didn't go to the tutelage. They denied the world, but they didn't undergo the tutelage to enter the kingdom. So they are the altar, this altar of the kill. There. Right? He says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? Holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Then they will do something for them. You see, and white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should what? Rest yet for a little season, until their fellow what? Servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be what?
fulfilled. Does it make sense? Now, who are those who should be killed? People who are being brought. You have to go through that altar of the king as well. Does it make sense?
Mm.
Now, that robe they wear on them is a preparation, right? Mm. A white robe is what? Is a preparation for what? It's to enter. When they bring a white robe to you, if you go back to the book of Leviticus, where God told them how they will consecrate priests for the holy place, right? You have to do the washing, mm-hmm. and then you have to put a robe on them and anoint them for them to enter. So when you see the robe is put on them, it means that the next thing for them to do is to what? Yes. To enter the tabernacle. Hmm. Amen. Now, praise the Lord. Now, in chapter 6, after the sixth seal, now, after they spoke about these guys, right? They now spoke about the sixth seal, chapter verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there were what? There was a great earthquake, and the sun became what? Black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as what?
Mm-hmm.
As blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, and even the fig tree casted their untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Amen? And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid what? Themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from what? The face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Amen.
Amen.
So this operation, this is the final operation that divides the veil into the tabernacle. When you talk about the sun, right? First of all, it says, at the start of heaven fell into the earth, right? Verse 12. Even as a fig tree casted her untimely figs when she is what? Shaking of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. And then the kings of the earth and the great men and all these guys, right? Now began to say, hide our face from him. So this is talking about the revelation of God. When all it will take all these things to be taken away, right? For that is a consciousness of him that will come upon this man. Talks about the kings of the air, the rich people. These are all the guys who have been enjoying under the sun. When you remove the sun, does it make sense? And all these things, then they will now begin to... So this word, this is your cry here, is actually a cry of brokenness. This is what it will take to break them, to break their hearts. There are those who trust in riches. There are those who trust in their wealth. Praise the Lord. There are those who trust in the work of their hands. There are those who trust in their wisdom. There are those who trust in the arm of flesh. There are those who trust in chariots and those who trust in horses. All kinds of things. God will break their trust. Praise the Lord. It says, and every free man, they hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountain, and said unto the mountains, fall on us, and hide us from what? The face of him. That tells you that why would they run to the mountains is nakedness. Right? Their nakedness will become unveiled to them. Yes.
Does this happen to every single person in the earth?
To everybody on the earth?
Like, so we're talking about the souls, right?
Mm-hmm.
When, because the whole souls are talking about God touching the earth.
Yep.
This awareness of this feeling of nakedness and
yes.
is going to be happening to every single person on the earth.
On the earth. Okay. So let me explain that now. Now, our time, the time we are in now, is not going to be how it's going to be in this day. You know why? Because in this time, by virtue of what these servants of God would have done, we'll roll out the season of deception. That's what this thing is.
Okay.
You understand? Now, when the day of deception is gone, because those spirits in the air that controls men, that deceive people, they would have been brought down. When that deception is gone, every soul will now be able to make a decision. Because God will be unveiled to souls. You see? So it will be hard for you to find souls on the earth that will say they don't that God does not exist. It will be difficult. That is the language of a deceived so, right? What you find on the earth those times are men who have been broken and are looking for God, and men who have seen God and hate him and say, we don't like him. We like our own way. There are those who the Bible says they will receive not the love of the truth. You get? Does it make sense? This operation is what the Bible says that in the book of Psalm 25, when he will destroy on this mountain the face of the covering that is cast over all nations and the veil that is spread over them. The reason why men behave the way they are, there is a mighty veil in the spirit. It will take the servants of God to bring them down from that vantage point, to cast him down to the earth. In that time, that's when the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth. That's when all flesh will see the salvation of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. But to address this question, but these operations, I mean, in that time, the knowledge of God will, isn't this still an operation we would all have to go through individually?
Like each person?
Yeah.
Like even those of us who are joining right now?
Yes.
Yes. But in a dimension. Most of us, there's nobody in this room right now who is far away, far, far away from the what? In the land of forgetfulness. We are all around that tabernacle. The fact that you are hearing these things, you have an interest. God doesn't need to come and start doing so, all these kind of things to you. To make, you understand? Uh-huh. So the issue now is now what? How to enter the kingdom? Right? How to advance in the kingdom of God.
Well, once again, the people going through this are people who are already children of God.
Yes.
And everybody else who is not will already be
so,
taken care of.
So now in this operation, there are people who will now believe God because of this, right?
Oh, yeah? Oh, so like everybody
yes.
in the world.
It's mm-hmm. going to be revealed.
Oh. Yeah. This is talking about, you are speaking to the four winds, right? But Jesus said, from the four winds of the earth. So the gospel shall be preached in all the world. Now, think about the tabernacle in Israel. There's a tabernacle in Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are people who are in Israel who are not interested in the tabernacle. Those are children of God. They are called Israel. Israel. They are those ones, they have the operation. They are those who are not in Israel, but they are in the earth. Those are not children of God. They are operations for them as well. Yes.
So it's not just for themselves.
Yep. Yeah. Those guys, they are the man-child company. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Remember in Revelation chapter 12, after the woman gave birth to the man-child, he was caught up to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then he overcame Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dragon was now cast down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then now who did I make war with? The remnant of the seed of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
So that woman is not only the man-child to produce, there are other seeds
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
You get.
Mm-hmm. And the woman is the church.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So you're seeing that the seals now, God is just speaking about how he will deal with souls. That's just how he will reap his people, right, from the earth. Now, when you cross that sixth seal, you come to the seventh seal. Okay. Amen. Now, chapter 7, right, is before the seventh seal is opened. You see all these things in chapter 7 will happen. Okay? Now, chapter 7, the seventh seal unveils the operation inside the tabernacle. The seventh seal is in chapter 8, right? After the sixth seal has been opened, okay, then you now need to, the servants of God will be sealed, right? And after the servants of God are sealed, then all the other multitude, you get, now have to be fed and led by him that sits upon the throne. Auntie D. Praise God. So, the seventh seal, we're saying, the seventh seal unveils the operations within the tabernacle. Now, right? The sixth seal is to bring people from wherever they are right, and take them through the veil.
Did we read it?
That's what we've been reading since. Whenever there's a switch of light, it means that you can't switch light without crossing the veil. Amen.
Amen.
Now, so he says, hurt not the earth, chapter 7, verse 3, right? Neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in our foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed. So he sealed the numbers he went to seal from the tribes. Right? Mm-hmm. And now verse 9 says, and this behold, I beheld, and lo, then a great multitude, which no man could number, of what? All nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with what? White robes and palms on their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto. So this cry now, these are not people who are under, who are living, they are that hope of the natural life that everybody's living with has been dealt with.
Mm.
Now they can now see, they can now look towards the throne and cry,
mm,
salvation. See, they now begin to speak toward the language of salvation.
Mm.
So salvation to our God, right? Where is it? Verse what? Verse 10.
Okay.
Which is upon the throne and unto the Lamb, and all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes?
Mm.
So you see, what are they arrayed in now?
White robes.
Huh.
Yes.
Amen. So who are people who are arrayed in white robes? They are ready to be led. So you see, that's the same white robes that those first people who were there,
yes,
that were crying. So those people in chapter 6, verse 9, right? It says, and when they had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O God, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood and all that? And then white robes were given unto every one of them, right? And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So who they were waiting for were this other multitude,
mm-hmm,
who the four winds will bring. So when the four winds will bring the multitude, they will now be arrayed with their own robes.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I said unto them, verse 14, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of what? So you now see what that tribulation is. That's the operation of the wind. That's what Jesus Christ said. Of the four winds, of the four horsemen. So this tribulation, this great tribulation, is what that activity in chapter Matthew 24:21 says, and for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. Then Matthew 24, verse 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon, right, shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from it, and the powers of the heavens shall be what? Shall be shaken. So this tribulation is a tribulation for gathering.
Mm-hmm.
make sense. Tamala. Maybe. We're almost done.
So was this tribulation that Yahweh was saying, if not for the elect, it was reduced?
Yes.
But for the
elect. That deceived the very elect, yes. Yes. So in these days, many things will be happening on the earth. That wicked guy, right, would have unveiled himself. He himself would be talking to people.
When verse 15 says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet,
yeah.
It says, stand in the holy place.
Yes. So that holy place, standing in the holy place, means that he has entered the temple of men. Okay? Whenever we speak about someone entering the temple, the holy place, what it means is that God has entered the holy place in your heart. Right? When you entering the holy place in your soul, means that God has entered the holy place in your heart. That's the principle of the twin inheritance. I shall be their God, they shall be my people. You are inheriting God. So the measure to which you've inherited God, that's how much God has inherited you. So as God is entering the holy place in some people's heart, what? The wicked one is also gaining entrance into some other people's temple.
Yeah.
Amen. And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest, and he said, these are they which come out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him all day and night in his temple. And he that seated on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall what? Feed them and lead them into living what? Fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. Praise the Lord. Then you now see chapter 8. Now it begins with the opening of what? The seven seals. Now what is the content of the seven seals? The trumpets.
Those
are the trumpets of the holy place.
So before the seven seals, the multitude that is gathered.
Before the seven seals open, or before all the seals.
Before the seven seals.
Yeah.
Multitude that is gathered.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
So the seven seal dimension is actually a seal of the holy place. As the seven seal is the activities of the holy place. Not the most holy. Opening of it. Okay, look at this thing. Look at this.
Mm-hmm.
when you come here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in here, you are in this second circle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now you can be gain access to this second circle, but you don't have access to this thing,
mm-hmm.
even though this thing is in the second circle. Where is this one? It's in the second circle. But you can be have access to this circle, but you have not gotten here. Even though this thing is here, you still have to journey like this to get here. The most holy place, it is the trumpets will lead to the most holy. But the fact that the trumpets, you are hearing the trumpets, you hear the first trumpet, doesn't mean you've accessed the most holy. You get? There are seven trumpets. And all seven must blow, you see it. So inside the seventh seal is the revelation of the seven trumpets. It will take all seven trumpets to finish blowing for you to for the second veil to give way into the most holy place, as you see it.
So what version is taking place in the book of Revelation 7? That's when they've been when it says there shall neither hunger no more,
mm-hmm.
neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them nor
mm-hmm.
any heat.
Yeah.
So that's the operation of the holy place.
So these ones have come into the holy. They are just coming because they put their robe on them. They've had qualification for the holy place, but they've not started journeying.
Mm.
The seven trumpets are the instrument for journeying in the holy place.
Mm.
The garment of the priest qualifies you for to hear the trumpets. See those seven golden candlesticks?
Mm-hmm.
They're actually seven trumpets.
Wow.
All you need to do is just remove it and take it and blow it. And you will see the altar here. He said, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence, right, in heaven. About the space of what? Half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given what? Seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at what? The altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon what? Where is that? The golden altar which was before the throne. You see? Which this golden altar is not the same as the altar in chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
This golden altar is that altar inside the holy place.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they burn incense. It's not an altar of killing.
Yes.
It's an altar of incense. That's in the holy place.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm still trying to understand.
Yeah.
So, at the end of Revelation 7, when it says from verse 15, from 14, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
He said, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them.
Yeah.
They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Yeah. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any
mm-hmm.
heat. So, this description is for those who have journeyed in the holy.
They have entered. They just entered the holy. They are ready to journey. You see, they are ready to be led in the holy place.
It's like that mountain we were looking at last week. Went up and up, is the journey.
You see, this end. You see what they are using? Sharp. Chapter 15, sharp. 16, sharp. 17, sharp. Sharp, sharp.
Yeah,
they're not things that has happened.
Yeah.
They're telling you what they will do with them. After the, what's the ropes for? You get. The actual operation of that, what they say they shall do, began to happen, will begin to happen from when the trumpets begin to be unveiled. That's the journey of the holy place. It's the place where you are fed, will feed them and lead them.
Yes.
The feeding, the holy place, the place of feeding and leading.
Yes.
You are led by, what are the two things there? This is the what the holy place looks like, right? There's the candlesticks, and then there's the bread. This is for leading. The light is for leading. The bread is for feeding. So you will feed them and lead them. Does it make sense? This bread, actually, if you read the book, the Bible, in this bread, there are actually 12 rolls of this bread. There are 12 rolls of this bread. The way they design, they make the shoe bread. There are 12 rolls for the tribes. The people, this is a place for Israel. Every Israel, every tribe has a portion of the bread. So the whole place is a place of what? Being led. They are led by the seven spirits and then being fed. Amen. It says, and they shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sun light them, nor any heat. Right? Obviously, they are in the holy place. So there will be no sun, right? Nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall what? Feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away what? All tears. Wiping away all tears means coming into joy. All tears means you come to gladness. Praise the Lord. That's their destination, is when all tears have been wiped away. That's the operation of the most holy place. These are those who came out of great tribulation, right?
Yeah, so I was explaining that because from last week, when we were talking, right, we were seeing how those people who are in the outer court and about to go into the... So you're saying the two things for the priests is the washing, right?
Sure.
And then putting on the wood.
But that washing is different. That one is... it's not the robe.
Okay.
Right? That's the washing of their body.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So blood is what?
So... What they are speaking of, there are two things there. There's what, when you are consecrating the priest, there's his own personal consecration. His own flesh has to be washed with the water at the beginning of right here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's the flesh has to be washed.
Yeah.
That's water. That's washing of water by the word. Right? Now, but when you talk of garment is... It has to do with your function. The things you now begin to do. That's what the garment is.
Yeah.
Now, these people, they had garment before.
Okay.
look at people in the world, everybody has their garment. When you see a professor talking to you, you are interacting with his professorial garment. The way he speaks, his garment is what? He has a garment on him. When you go to school for 4 years, all they want to do is to wear a garment on your soul.
Yes.
When you say anything, wow. So a doctor can talk to you. Let's say he's a medical practitioner. Yes. His soul has taken identity. He's wearing a garment. It's an identity. That's a function. Does it make sense? Kind of. Rich men have their garment. Your garment has to do with what function you carry. The garment for the priesthood of the New Testament has to pass through. You take those filthy garments, pass it through the blood of the Lamb. Then your blood will produce a what? A white garment. White has to do with purity. So the things you will begin to do are what? Priestly things, white things. You can't produce the garment of priesthood without the blood of Jesus. Yeah. So the Bible says they wash their robes and then make them what? Make them white. The blood. Amen. Mm-hmm. So this seven, see, it's clear that this 144,000, they could not be sealed if they haven't gone through all the seals, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have come to, they have passed through all the seals. All the seals have been unlocked in them. That's why they are able to be sealed with the Father's name. That's the ultimate seal. That means your journey to the end. That's the destination. No, the ministry of the blood continues again.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay. actually the real ministry of the blood doesn't really start until you are inside. But having your bodies washed with what? Pure water. So the water is for the body. Now you can wash something with water, but you haven't changed his behavior. It's still who he is. Just clean him up. To take blood, an operation within, to change, to transform. That's the ministry of the blood. You now begin to understand why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, why he didn't come by water only. Telling you that he didn't just come to arrange you, to clean you up. Right, but by water and by blood. That's why you also understand in John chapter 3, except a man be born of the water and spirit, he cannot what? Enter, that's entrance. Born of water and spirit has to do with that washing of water. But there's something called blood and spirit. That's another way of being born, and that birth. Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus that, remember? Because Jesus told him, if I told you about earthly things, why would I? You don't understand. Yes. I can't tell you. It means there were more things than what he told Nicodemus. He only told him about entrance into the kingdom. He didn't talk to him about journey into greatness in the kingdom. Right. So except now you talk to him about being born of what? Water and spirit, right? But being the birth of the blood, John spoke about it in 1 John 5. It was actually speaking about how Christ, let me just say this. So he was speaking about being what? Born of God, right? Verse 4, it says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. You see that this is the victory that overcometh the world, right? Even what? Even our faith. And this is he that came by what? By water and blood. And even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And is the spirit that beareth witness. So him coming by water and by blood. That the two dimension. When you say Jesus Christ is manifest to you, or you've had the you've had the ministry of Christ, is two dimensional. There's a ministry of the water, which includes washing of water by the word. Then there's a ministry of his blood, which has to do with the transformation or the receiving of his life. Does it make sense?
What verse was that?
That was 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. Amen. Remember when the Bible says that how much more shall he purge our conscience, right? From dead works, right? To serve the living God. If the blood of bulls and goats could not, you know, do it. Right, so when you speak of the conscience, you're talking about the temple of man. Right? As the conscience. So the conscience, the activity of the conscience, right, is the kind of sanctification that happens in the holy place is a sanctification of blood. Okay. Now, what you can call what happens outside purification, if sanctification, if you want, but not really, not real sanctification. It's just washing, the one you do by the water. Yes, real. That's why the holy place is called the sanctuary.
Wow.
Yeah. Everything in the holy place is the Bible calls it. They are purified with blood. They are sprinkled with blood. Everything there, they sprinkle them with blood. Okay. All the utensils. So God begins to administer the administration of the blood of Jesus begins in the holy place, not outside. It's a tabernacle. And you need a garment in the holy place. That garment is a product of the blood as well. The white garment. You know from when you are entering, they wash it, made it white. But it's not for the outer court. The reason why you are wearing the priest's garment at the entrance of the tabernacle It's because he will use it inside. So this is just wisdom of the scripture, you see. All they are just talking about what will happen to the soul. If you don't read this thing with, if Holy Spirit doesn't show these things, you just be reading story. Wow, God, man, this one, that one, a couple of, praise the Lord. But God, but this is a book of salvation. This the scripture is a manual of salvation. God is speaking particulars about what he wants to do with the souls of men. And with those, when God opens those eyes in us, we'll begin to see the scripture properly.
Yeah.
And you actually begin to see that all the scriptures are talking about the same thing. It's just hidden. You just need the right eyes. Praise the Lord. To see them. Amen. I think we can pray. Alright, let's just talk to God in our hearts. Let's just tell him that we are grateful for his word. We are thankful for deeming us like worthy, but not even worthy, but it's just mercy for us to begin to see the content of the book, to see his mechanism, his device, to see his intentions for us, that he's showing us the secret of his heart. That is that God who desires all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants to bring us to the end of it, to the knowledge of salvation. Let's thank Jesus tonight. Everything we are knowing, we are seeing, is as a result of Christ. You know, all this revelation is hidden in the seals. If Christ doesn't break them open, if he doesn't give the authority for them to be seen, they are hidden. You can't interpret them. You can't know the content of the book. Let's thank Jesus. Let's thank him, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, who prevailed to open up the book and to reveal the seals thereof. Let's thank him for mercy, for being kind. Let's thank him for agreeing, for giving himself to be slain for us. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He's a Lamb that was slain for us. We Lord Jesus, we thank you, we exalt you, we worship you, we bless your holy name, we give you glory. Thank you, Makrestonosia, Adamata, Ilevo Sotoria, Halika, Etaka, Ementa, Enesta, Praste, Elista, Kronia, Emprasa, Itekrene, Edevense, Casila, Ataleia, Empanita, Sotori, Shasta, Kavra, Oste, Presende, Nina, Ata, Erenose, Kali, Vashuri, Hanamosia, Embrate Sekeria Takavra Taste Fretuni Kalimataya Empapasasta Kazina Korianza Urishata Hamprateki Kaseto Korea Tamazabrata Dish Empamazasta Kalizote Karabasa Embrate Seeterenasia Lata Franda Zapratoria Takae Kamazatae Potoventele Kalia Hori Hasendur Hoshen Homatas. Ricata zutis terevensasia, e prasisse casutis eria rabosune. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mateseri tama. Hamai.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, we realize that it's through the seals that God will put His name upon us. And God's name is His blessing. It is blessing. It says unto Moses to tell Aaron, he says, so shall you put my name upon them, and I will bless them. The Lord said today He wants to bless us. I believe we have been blessed. There's content in what we have learned. It's not just information, trust me. They are deposits of the consciousness of God's device for bringing us to Himself. It's been unlocked in our heart. Wisdom. For the scriptures, wisdom to the word in the spirit that will save our soul.
Yes.
Let's just thank God a little. Just tell Him that I thank you for my journey, and I commit my journey unto you. I commit my journey unto you. My journey to come to perfection, to come to the most holy place, to inherit you fully, to inherit you, for you to come into the temple of my heart and have your place. Father, I say, Arataja, Nate Grenisaro Tiveni, Erepaste Sesoriata, Father Zote Carijata, Emproceste Castevente, Atalima Cassetto Corete Camani, Emproceti Riasta Frasterezuta, Erehan Shata, Arecasto Soria, Manica Venzaia, Forehenza. Oh, Jesus. Kali Cassesta Cata. Hompatata Pasia, Pasta Crehene, Halia, Halia, Halia. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship your name. Thank you, our Father. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless you. Thank you because you have imparted the grace, ability for this journey. Thank you. You will bring us before the altar. You will change our garment. You will bring us into the holy place. You will take us into the journey. Father, by your trumpets, by your voice and your sounding, that will cause us to journey. You will feed us. You will lead us to living fountains of waters. You will change us. You will cause us to be washed in your blood. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. Change our garments, Lord. Change our garments, O God. Make us priests. So you make us priests and kings unto our God. We receive priesthood and dominion in you. Thank you, our Father.
Amen.
We bless you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.
You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim.